The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect the views of CKLN Radio Incorporated. The following program contains views which some might find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Please be advised that this program is being monitored to ensure compliance with Canadian broadcast codes and regulation.
They would be happy to put a warning on an album that said explicit lyrics, parental guidance.
Let me ask you this. If we have categories and labels and rating systems for movies, why are you opposed to a similar rating system for records?
Well, if a person is hired as an actor for a film, whatever they rate the film doesn't hurt the actor as a person. He is a hired hand and he's pretending. If a person makes an album and he's written a song or he's performing the song and his name is on the album and his picture is on the album, if you rate the album, you're rating the person and you apply a stigma to that individual, and that's not fair.
As a regular radio listener, I feel I must protest most strongly as often as possible. Yours sincerely, Brigadier General Titfield Thunderbolt, MC, GPO, PVC, DSO, and Looney.
Now, ma'am, I don't know who printed your shirt, but here's the microphone and you can explain. You have the view that you have, and I'd be glad to respond to a question.
Thank you. I was wondering, Senator McCain, why you had the opportunity to vote to give equal rights to women, equal pay. Okay. I was wondering why you didn't show up to vote, and you said that if you did, you wouldn't support it.
I think you're referring to a vote recently that would allowed, which would have eliminated the statute of limitations on lawsuits for charges or allegations or of discrimination. I think that if you eliminate the statute of limitations and make it unending, then you have may be violating the rights of the individual who's being sued as well, whether they be a man or a woman. So I believe that the Supreme Court's decision was correct, that there is a statute of limitations as to when charges or allegations or legal means are taken, and I believe that it was a correct decision of the United States Supreme Court, and I don't believe that this would do anything to help the rights of women except maybe help trial lawyers and others in that profession.
Vietnam veteran, so I'd love to recognize you first, sir. Thank you. Here, bring him the camera.
Senator, veterans and all Americans admire your service in Vietnam. We admire the fact that you're the Straight Talk Express, but we know that you voted against, or well, actually you didn't vote on the new GI Bill and you spoke out against it. We understand you had a difference on that, but we haven't heard an explanation of why you voted against your colleagues' proposals to increase health care funding in 2004, 5, 6, and 7, when we had troops coming back from two wars.
I don't know what bill you're referring to, and I don't know what you're referring to, and I'll be glad to have you refer to it. But the reason why I have a perfect voting record from organizations like the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the American Legion, and all the other veteran service organizations is because of my support of them. But you can go ahead and respond if you want to. Go ahead. Give him the microphone back.
I'll respond by saying this, that you do not have a perfect voting record by the DAV and the VFW. That's where these votes are recorded. And the votes were proposals by your colleagues in the Senate to increase health care funding of the VA in 2003, 4, 5, and 6 for troops returning from Iraq and Afghanistan, and you voted against those proposals. I can give the specific Senate votes, the numbers of those Senate votes, right now.
Well, I thank you, and I'll be glad to examine what your version of my record is. But again, I've been endorsed in every election by all of the veterans organizations that do that. I've been supported by them, and I've received their highest awards from all of those organizations. So I guess they don't know something you know. So I thank you very much, and I will continue to be proud of my support for the veterans of this country and proud of their support.
No man ever was nor ever will be like the man called Hank McCain. They can lock him up, but they can never, never stop him living up to his name.
a question from him. Sir, you really have to ask me the question. Sir, there's a number of other people that would like to ask a question. Now I'm going to ask you for the third time. Can I have a question? Can I have a question?
That's my cue. Good morning, everybody. I'm Greg Duffel. This is the show called La Connexion Internationale. And I'm here for another fantastic week. Hope you stick with me until 10:30 this morning. The dashboard is lighting up with calls already. Yes, we accept your calls. Ah, we fade out. And yes. Yes, we're here again for another Sunday morning. And, you know, I'm just going to go straight to the phones this morning and just see who might be here. You're on the air.
Greg, I'm just as crazy as you and Danny, you know.
You are?
You think that all you have, they call it the market on madness? No. I'm not even in Canada right now. I'm stateside.
Yeah?
And I thought your show would be in progress already. And I just dozed off, and I got up. I said, let me give you all a shout.
So how are you listening?
Your show is just getting underway, right?
How are you listening?
I'm not even listening to the show.
Oh, you're not listening to the show. You want to be listening to the program. Now, did you know...
I would like to be, but this hotel ain't got no internet.
Right. Do you have a laptop? You could listen if they had it?
No, I'm not into all the technology
and
all that kind of stuff. I don't want to be lugging all that stuff
around. So where are you in the United States, if you don't mind me asking?
I'll tell you exactly where I am right now. I'm in Secaucus, New Jersey.
Ah, that's... I know that place very well. That's right near the airport, isn't it?
It's
Newark?
Not that far from Newark Airport. Yeah, you could say that. It's not that far, really.
Right.
It's just a little north.
And WWOR, the television station, is in that general vicinity? I've noticed that.
WWOR. Perhaps it is. They've got a number of radio stations out here.
No, it's a television station. Television station.
Okay, well, they've got a number of television stations, too. It's probably out here. Unfortunately, I can't listen to the show, but at least you can tell me what's the topic going to be today.
The topic. Well, normally we don't list the topics, but I will do it today. I will, since very few people are probably listening right now, let's go for it. Before, earlier on, we heard the Ballad of Hank McCain, and we played a bunch of John McCain clips just for nostalgia's sake, because we won't be hearing him every day, incessantly, for months and months and months and months. He's gone, I guess, forever. He's going to be put into...
war hero.
He's going to be put into retirement. Then we're going to
have... By the way, did you know that McCain was a POW?
I did know that. did you know that McCain actually was shot down by his own forces?
The so-called friendly fire.
Yeah.
They probably hated his gut then, too.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that. We're going to talk about bullies. Speaking of McCain, we're going to talk about bullies.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Sarah Palin and remarks that she made about Africa. We're going to talk about the other person who's almost as famous in the McCain campaign as Sarah Palin herself, Joe the Plumber. We'll be discussing
Joe.
Oh,
what a joke.
Oh, yeah. Wait till you hear that.
I like to call that Joke the Plumber.
Wait till you won't hear that.
Where did they come up with that? I don't know, but it sounds like a good show. I'll try to... If there's any internet cafe around, I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a good idea if you're devoted.
And remember to tell your people, tell all your loyal listeners that, you know, you can be found on the internet.
That's true. You can listen on the internet. If you're having trouble with your radio reception this morning, go to www.ckln.fm and listen live there. There are two different streams. One of them is for your dial-up. That's the lower stream, and for your high-speed internet, your high-speed stream. So if you want to listen there, you might get a better reception. But remember, no matter where you're listening, you will be in delay. And if you're on the internet, you'll be even further delay.
Like Tom Delay.
Right, Tom Delay.
Yeah.
So then we're going to be talking about Frank Gaffney, John Voight, Obama, Rahm Emanuel, Dr. Beter. Oh, wait, you're going to miss something here.
Yeah, well, John Voight is one of my favorite actors. I do have a lot of admiration for his. He's been around a long time. And by the way, do you know, of course, you know Angelina Jolie is his daughter.
Right, and, well, I don't know whether you'd like him as much if you will hear the segment that we're going to do on
him. Everybody
got
a dark side, a bad side to them.
Angelina Jolie, they're estranged, you know, the two of them. They try to get back together, but they can't do it. And I'm beginning to understand why, just based on his political views. And we're going to be talking about Dr. Beter, and I'm not even going to give that one away. That is such a startling story. It's actually from over 20 years ago. I don't know, about 20 years ago. We're the 20th anniversary of Dr. Beter's greatest broadcast, his most influential broadcast that he ever made. He sent out tapes and other people broadcast it. So that's the show, I think. So all of you that, if that doesn't sound interesting to you at all, I'd tune out right now.
Okay, well, listen, give a shout out to Danny for me, all right?
I will.
In the studio.
Danny is not in the studio today. Danny is on hiatus for a few weeks, and I'm here alone. So some people don't like it, but they don't have to listen. So, well, I'm carrying on.
Well, just let me say once again, you must get tired of hearing me say this. I didn't forget about you, but let me quickly tell you, the last time I was in Toronto area, I had your tape for you. I was working that day, and that was the day of this marathon they had going on downtown.
You might
remember that.
Well, I don't remember.
There was some kind of running marathon to raise money for somebody somewhere.
It's the blocking the roads.
Oh, yeah. All the roads that could have got me there much faster were blocked, and I was running out of time. As I said, I was working. I had to pick up some, and I just couldn't get there in time because the roads were blocked. But anyway, I didn't forget you, okay?
All right.
Brother, you keep on keeping on.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye. That was that's Dave 3 from who's phoning in today from Secaucus, New Jersey, of all places. Thank you for phoning in. That's nice of him, huh? Never met Dave 3. Hope to one day. So, this morning we are going to begin with topic of bullies. They've done a new study about bullies. And I think this is helpful to know about for everybody in the audience, because at some point in time, you're always having to deal with a bully of some sort. And so they've done a study, as I said, and bullies may actually enjoy the pain they cause others. A new study using brain scans suggests. The part of the brain associated with reward lights up when an aggressive teen watches a video of someone hurting another person, but not when a non-aggressive youth watches the same clip. According to the University of Chicago, they did a study published in the current Biological Psychology. Quote, aggressive adolescents showed a specific and very strong activation of the amygdala and ventral striatum, an area that responds to feeling rewarded when watching pain inflicted on others, which suggested that they enjoyed watching pain, researcher Jean DeCitti, a professor in psychology and psychiatry at the University of Chicago. Of course, Tom Cruise would say that this is completely illegitimate because the researcher is involved as a professor in psychology and psychiatry. Unlike the control group, the youth with conduct disorder did not activate the area of the brain involved in self-regulation, the medial prefrontal cortex, and the temporoparietal junction. I know I'm pronouncing all this wrong. The study compared 16 to 18-year-old boys with an aggressive conduct disorder to a group that didn't show unusual signs of aggression. All participants underwent functional magnetic resonance imaging while watching videos in which people endured pain accidentally, such as when a heavy ball was dropped on their hands, and intentionally, such as when a person stepped on another's foot. Gee, it sounds like a lot of the cartoons I saw when I was a kid and Three Stooges stuff. Well, I was laughing. And evidently the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services is involved in stopping bullying. They didn't talk to Dick Cheney and George Bush and all those people. So for those of you that are bullied, just know that your pain is their enjoyment. All right, we're going to go to another call. And you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Greg. It's Dave.
Oh, Dave, too. We heard from Dave 3.
Is that the International Connection's favorite homophobe,
yeah.
I heard?
Oh, well, I that's what you say.
And did he say he was in Suck Caucus?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That makes sense then.
Yes.
And I seriously think you should use that McCain song for your opening scene.
Yeah, okay,
it's
I will.
It's a nice sound to it. It's nice for people.
It is good, isn't it? Do you want me to play a little bit of that?
Yeah, could you play it all over again?
Yeah, all right.
Oh, thanks, Greg.
Okay, you're welcome. Let's see. We've got an.
Now, ma'am.
Here's the request.
Country and proud of their.
Here it is.
No man ever was nor ever will be like the man called Hank McCain.
Okay, just change Hank to John. Just for convenience.
They can lock him up, but they can never, never stop him living up to his.
See, they locked him up. And they can never stop him living up to his name. They locked him up in North Vietnam during the war. Because it was just revealed recently that he was a prisoner of war. This is this guy who wrote this. I think his name's Ennio Morricone. He writes a lot of music for spaghetti westerns and... And I want to thank Serge for alerting me to this particular song by telephone over the air a few weeks ago. So I went and found it, and here it is for all of your enjoyment in full fidelity.
Long ago, the simple fact, he was on his own.
He was on in solitary confinement in North Vietnam.
Life taught him not to count on anyone except himself alone.
Yeah, he has to count on himself. Can't count on that Sarah Palin or his wife or his children or the adopted child. He's just got to count on his own. He's a loner. Okay. Does everybody understand McCain now? A little calm bit. We've heard the information. It is a good song, isn't it?
No.
knows better than McCain how to care for number one, how to take and never give.
Yeah. He cares for number one and takes but never gives. That sounds like John McCain.
No one knows better than McCain that when all is said and done, that's the only way to live.
It's the only way to live. Yeah, I know it. I've learned that around here.
No one knows better than McCain just how angry you can be when they cage you in with law.
Oh, I know how angry you can be. My anger's just building.
No one knows better than McCain what it means to feel you free when you know the world is yours.
Yeah, it sounds. Yeah, that's so. That's Ennio Morricone music, The Ballad of Hank McCain. So, what's next on the agenda here? We've done bullies. I'm going to bring another caller in. I think I know who this caller is. Let's see. Let's bring him up. Bob, are you there?
Yes, Greg.
Bob. It's Bob.
Did
Bob,
you know
again.
The
now,
world is yours? Is that the line?
Do you want me to go over it again?
Not really. I think it was. When you know the world is yours.
The world is yours. Okay, let me try it. Okay, here it is.
McCain. Just how angry you can be when they cage you in with law. No one knows better than McCain what it means to feel you're free when you know the world is yours.
Yeah, when you know the world, when you know the world is yours.
You know, he represents the archetype of the individual initiative, the cowboy, the individualist, which was product of the printing press. And we saw...
Well, you're on about that again, are you? The whole printing press thing.
I'm always going to... These are facts, Greg. I'm not like you and anybody else that exists on the airwaves who just hallucinate opinions, which is good for content and creates a lot of sense of humor. And, of course, I'm going to be the lonely McCain over time here. I'm the one that everybody's going to hate, right?
Right.
I'm the one in prison here.
Yes.
In this medium. But I want to relate it to the fact
you're in prison in Maui.
And Wowie Maui.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing is, this past week, we saw the opposite emotion, the emotion of multitude, a collective global expression of unity or at least sentimental matching with everybody else. We're all together. No wonder McCain looked like an idiot. His image is so unresponsive to the increasing effect of YouTube.
Are you done?
Yes, I'm giving you room.
Okay, and I'm going to take that room, and I'm going to bring on another caller. You're on the air.
You're in prison in Maui.
You're on the air. You're on the air.
Yeah, hello, this is Dave Four.
Oh, hi, Dave Four.
Dave Four?
Yes.
Yeah, Greg?
Yes?
Greg, this is Dave Four.
Oh, okay, Dave Four. Go ahead.
That music reminds me of a soundtrack of a spaghetti western, Clint Eastwood and Eli Wallach in Hang 'em High.
Yeah?
Yes, back in the late 60s.
I think Hang 'em High, was that with Inger Stevens?
Yes.
Was Eli Wallach really in that?
Well, either him or Ernest Borgnine.
Well, I think Hang 'em High, the music for that was done by Dominic Frontier.
Perhaps.
Yes.
Maybe
they're
from the same neighborhood.
Maybe.
But I want to talk to
Dave neighbor,
One.
Same neighborhood in Italy?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And
same subdivision.
And who? To whom do you wish to speak?
Dave One.
Dave One?
Yeah, Dave One. I wonder if you could call back and ask the question you ran by Norman Otis Richmond yesterday. We heard you on the radio, and he ran your call.
Oh, what happened there?
There was a question that he asked Norman Otis Richmond, and Norman would have no time for him, and he just ran the call right off the board.
Why would somebody do that?
I don't know. Something the way Dave one phrase the question.
No, I think that's Dave 2.
Dave 2, then.
I'm guessing it was Dave 2. I can't imagine that someone would get rid of Dave 1.
Well, then it's Dave 2. I stand corrected.
All right. Well, maybe we'll hear back from Dave 2, and he'll comment.
He can ask you the question. I'm sure it's fresh in his memory. We were in the car. We were hoping for an answer from Norman, and Norman just ran the call off the board.
Wow. I wonder whether there were some technical problems about that.
I don't think so. It came in loud and clear. I could hear both parties. Anyhow, let's see if Dave 2 calls in.
All right. We'll get his side of the story.
Bye now.
Bye. Boy, that was a Dave 4. We're really gathering Dave's here.
That's
right, Bob?
Four-letter word going. You got Dave Neufeld, Dave Worcester.
Yeah, don't go to that other Dave. I don't want to talk about him. Don't even mention it. Don't even mention it.
Beater. It's not 20 years. It's 30 years. Dr. Beater, this tape you're playing is 30 years.
Oh, you're right. It's 30 years. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That makes me 10 years older than I thought. Oh. So you were mentioning about the election, and, of course, we saw all of this fervor about Obama, and everybody's just so proud of themselves, especially the white liberals. The white liberals are very proud of themselves. They say, look what we've done. We've got a black man in the presidency. Isn't this terrific? But,
yeah,
of course,
now they can travel again.
Yeah. But we still have to live with Sarah Palin for a little while. And it seems like some of the people who were involved in her campaign are revealing things about what went on behind the scenes of the McCain-Palin ticket. And here is Sarah Palin talking about all of the terrible things they've said about her.
It's not true. And I do remember having a discussion about NAFTA as we talked about Alaska's relationship with Canada and how we, heaven forbid, we go in and just unilaterally think that we're going to renegotiate NAFTA, as it had appeared that Barack Obama, his position was, yeah, he wanted to go renegotiate.
Well, interestingly, Sarah Palin doesn't understand that any country, Mexico, Canada, the United States, can decide with 6 months' notice to abrogate the entire agreement, let alone go in and renegotiate it. So there's number one strike against her. She doesn't know that. Okay, here we go. Next.
We're having a discussion with a couple of debate preppers. So if it came from one of those debate preppers, you know, that's curious. But having a discussion about NAFTA, not, oh, my goodness, I don't know who's a part of NAFTA. So, no, I think that if there are allegations based on questions or comments that I made in debate prep about NAFTA and about the continent versus the country, when we talk about Africa there.
It was said that she didn't know that Africa was a continent. And it seems like she hasn't learned that either here.
It's not true. So, and I do debate prep about NAFTA and about the continent versus the country when we talk about Africa there. Then
yeah. So she's saying that there is a difference between the continent of Africa and the country of Africa. Right, Bob?
Yeah, well, why would we worry about someone who has no visual acuity? These people are acoustic. The fundamentalist Christians are acoustic, tribal. Hitler was a radio man.
Hitler was a radio man.
Fundamentalist Christians are radio people. They can't see. They don't know what the map looks like.
No. Here's more of Sarah Palin.
Those were taken out of context, and that's cruel. It's mean-spirited.
Yeah.
It's immature. It's
mm-hmm.
unprofessional,
mm-hmm.
and those guys are jerks if they came.
She talking about us. She talking about us, Bob?
I didn't catch that. Who's she saying is a jerk?
I'm wondering. I didn't catch it either. I thought she was talking about me.
And those guys are jerks if they came away with it, taking things out of context, and then tried to spread something on national news that's not fair and not right.
I think she is talking about us. Isn't that our MO? Hold on. Let me just do it again.
Context. And that's cruel. It's mean-spirited. It's immature.
Yeah.
It's unprofessional. And
unprofessional.
Those guys are jerks if they
jerks,
came
yeah.
away with it, taking things out of context, and then tried
right.
to spread something on national news that's not fair
yes.
and not right. For
okay.
instance.
Yeah, don't we do that?
Yes, that's the point of all media, is to take everything out of context. I mean, there's civil war among the media.
It's with the whole
in
clothes
that way,
issue.
Taking everything out of context. That's how you create the abuse value. Everybody's a John McCain in the media. The economy's run on abuse value. I'm being didactic today, Greg. Just
what?
To cover up anything happens later.
It's just, okay, very good.
National news, it's not fair and not right. For instance, with the whole clothes issue.
Yeah.
the RNC purchase clothes, those are the RNC's clothes. They're not my clothes. I never forced anybody to buy them. I never asked for anything.
I was willing to go out there nude, completely nude. I didn't even ask for any clothes. I would have worn the rags that I wear around the governor's mansion. I would have done that. I would have worn a bikini. I would have done anything. But they gave me clothes. What could I do? Come on. And that they spent money? Come on.
More than maybe a Diet Dr. Pepper once in a while.
Oh, she got a Diet Dr. Pepper. Got that plug in. I can see it. She's looking for endorsements now. She lost the election, but she drinks Dr. Pepper. I'm a pepper.
I never have asked for anything. These are Sarah Palin's clothes. You know, we don't take anything with us. So
no.
Until that's cleared up by you guys doing your job, what else can I say? What else can John McCain say about all of this, except these are false allegations?
Hey, come on, you guys. Do your job. Gee. Oh. So then, of course, she was one of the idiots in the McCain campaign. And there was another idiot in the McCain campaign, and they adopted this fellow a little bit strangely. It was Joe the Plumber. You remember him, right? Joe the Plumber. And here is Sarah Palin talking about Joe the Plumber.
You know, I think we really need to hand it to old Joe the Plumber over there in Toledo, Ohio recently. Because somehow he succeeded in doing something that the rest of us have not been able to do, and that is he got our opponent to finally state his intentions in plain language.
Yeah. Obama talked in another language when he was doing his speeches so that we just purposely couldn't understand it because he's such an elite.
Finally says he wants to spread the wealth, which again means government taking your money and doling it out however a politician sees fit.
Doesn't that sound like the tax system to you, Bob, the one that we've lived under our whole working lives?
Yes, and didn't she lower taxes?
I'm unclear.
It doesn't matter what she did.
Pardon?
You're reacting to her image. Again, you're barfing on her image.
Right.
Yeah.
Barack Obama calls it spreading the wealth.
That audience sound.
The Barack audience, Obama politician sees.
The audience sounds like it's barfing here. Listen.
Fit. Barack Obama calls it spreading the wealth. And Joe Biden calls higher taxes, he calls that patriotic. But Joe the Plumber said it sounded to him.
Joe the Plumber, the smartest man in America. This is what it sounded like to Joe the Plumber.
Like socialism.
Yes. Are they applauding socialism there?
Yes, Greg, they are.
And now is not the time.
Sarah Palin in North Korea.
Meeting Kim Jong-il.
Now is not the time to experiment with socialism.
I wonder when the time is to experiment with socialism. When is that? Well, later on in the week. Well, actually, that was from a few weeks ago, that particular speech that she kept doing over and over and over again, and CNN kept running it continually, and we heard her say, now is not the time to experiment with socialism. But this past week, I think it was the day of the election, on the CNN again, Rick Sanchez. Hi, I'm Rick Sanchez. Hi, how you doing? I'm on Twitter. I'm playing Twitter here now. I got my MySpace account over there. And hey, Fred, bring the camera around here and look at my Twitter, okay? That's Rick Sanchez. So Rick is now on in the afternoons. I miss him on the weekends, the 2 hours that we would get each Saturday and Sunday night with Rick Sanchez. We've been denied that, and now he's got an hour every day, which I guess amounts to an increase of an hour for Rick Sanchez. Here's Rick Sanchez doing an interview with Joe the Plumber over the phone on the day of the election.
Very much, and, you know, support those fine men.
I'm sorry, I came in the middle of this, so it's not in its full form.
Very much, and, you know, support those fine men, you know, the establishments you're talking about as far as our roads and fire departments, police departments.
I think they brought Joe the Plumber in to show how smart Sarah Palin really is.
Hang into it at all. And so they're going to actually get more, or they're going to get money back from my hard work? that doesn't seem right. I mean, taxes are necessary.
So wait. Am I hearing you correct? Did you just say you want people who make less?
Wait a minute. Just to correct Rick Sanchez there. Am I hearing you correctly? That would be the correct way to say that, Rick. As a broadcaster, we should always be striving to speak the English language properly, but not American announcers. I'll do that again.
So wait. Am I hearing you correct? Did you just say
I'm
you
hearing
want...
you correct? Why is it, Bob? Why is it that Americans have just completely got rid of the adverb?
Because do you have an answer? Because of the acoustic spectrum of radio and television. It's a post-literate society. Actually, you're trying to make emphasis when you speak. You're not writing proper grammar for the eye. You don't speak grammar for the eye. That's why people swear more. You get more rhythm in your speech. Mm. You understand this? It's an acoustic society.
All right. And that...
People who make less than...
Oh, just a second. I'm going to take a call. And you're on the air.
This is Dave Four here calling back.
Dave Two didn't phone back.
Not yet.
No,
he had a question regarding Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice. It's coming back to me now.
Oh, that was the question.
And Norman ran the call.
Oh.
Listen, regarding Sarah Palin.
Yes.
Will she have an autobiography out in time for Christmas to capture sales? Do you think she'll have an autobiography out soon?
I think
she already has one out.
Does she?
Yep. It came out, you know, soon she got nominated.
Is it done in crayon? No?
No, I don't think so.
I heard the NHL is looking, after this election thing's over, to making her an official puck dropper at all the rinks. Because she did about half a dozen opening night ceremonies in the NHL at certain U.S. cities where she dropped the puck. And then she dropped the election after that.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Dave.
Where's Dave 2?
I don't know. We'll see. We'll try to get him on the line, Dave 4. Got a lot of Daves. Okay, we're getting back to Sarah Palin here. Just
250.
Oh, no, this is... No, we're getting back to Joe the Plumber, the other idiot.
People who make less than $250,000 to be taxed more, and people who make over $250,000 to be taxed less.
So that's what he's getting. Rick Sanchez is getting that from Joe the Plumber, that people who make more money should pay less tax. So let's see what Joe the Plumber, the genius, thinks.
You think it's a skew now and you want to fix it?
No, nowhere in what I just said did I say anything about people who make less than $250,000 should pay more. Didn't say that at all.
So you would, well, because you just said that they are not taxed. They don't pay their share. So, guys, the money's got to come from somewhere, Joe, right?
Well, yeah, but it doesn't have to, taking more from someone else that's worked, harder in their lifetime or gotten better breaks is not right. I mean,
so somebody who makes more money to Joe the Plumber automatically is working harder, but maybe they got better breaks, so they should get another good break and pay less taxes than someone who hasn't had the breaks. And technically, as far as he's concerned, people who are on the low end of the wage scale just aren't working hard. Let's carry on. That's the theories of Joe the Plumber, the generalized theories.
Can
you imagine how hard Bill Gates must be working? I mean, his brain must be exploding to have so much money. And Buffett, I mean, can you imagine how hard he must be working compared to a guy who's working 10, 12 hours, or a woman who's working 10, 12 hours a day on an assembly line or something? Can you imagine if, like, they're getting what? Even in a union job, they might be getting $20 or $30 an hour. I don't know.
He's working so hard he took other jobs on. He had to leave the Microsoft job.
Right. He had to get another job with a foundation. So here's the answer of the amazing genius, the soon-to-be political candidate running for governor or senator in Ohio. Here's the genius, Joe the Plumber.
Disagree with it, but the fact is right, wrong is wrong. I mean, it's not an opinion here. I mean, you don't take money away from someone who's working.
Right is right and wrong is wrong. It's just an opinion here.
No, it's not. Didn't he say it's not an opinion?
I disagree
with it, but the fact is harder in their lifetime or gotten better breaks is not right. I mean, you can disagree with it, but the fact is right, wrong is wrong. I mean, it's not an opinion.
Oh, not an opinion.
I mean, you don't take money away from someone who's worked more or had, better breaks to give to other people.
But under this system, you're the one who's going to benefit. Look, I looked it up on CNN.com/money. The average plumber makes $37,000 a year. So I don't know how much you make, but
I may make more than that, but I'm not in the six figures. I work damn hard for my money.
Well, it's just kind of hard to figure out. I mean, you don't have a license. You're not registered as a plumber. You owe back taxes of $1,200. A hospital is asking you, St. Charles Hospital, Mercy Hospital, is asking you for $1,100.
Hold on one second, brother. I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
Hold on, brother. Where does that come from, that whole thing?
Why are you vetting me out and you haven't done this with Obama? You're sitting here asking me all these insane questions. I asked a question.
An insane question. Why would you even question me? I'm a genius. I'm a guy in Toledo, Ohio, and I'm a genius. Why would you question me with these insane ramblings, Rick Sanchez?
elected public official, Obama? You're sitting here asking me all these insane questions. I asked a question of a public elected public official.
Right.
Official, and you're going to
No, Joe.
This is
kind of ridiculous, Joe.
Man.
You've gone on the air and endorsed John McCain. You are no longer just Joe private person. You have thrust yourself into this campaign by holding news conferences, talking to reporters, and endorsing a candidate. You have to be asked the tough questions, my friend. That's the way it works in this country.
ask good questions. Why don't you ask what I'm going to do for, what I'm going to do now?
Well,
yeah, like I'll give you the questions that you ask me, and because those are the ones I'm ready for. Like, what am I going to do now? Oh, let me see. I'm going to be doing some plumbing, and then I'm going to be working towards running for governor in the governor of the state of Ohio in 2010.
Talk about living in the now.
Good question is this. Why is a guy who's not even licensed as a plumber, is nowhere near making $250,000 a year to clear, asking why it is that people who make that kind of money could be taxed?
All right, brother. Okay. You're just so insane. You're just so completely insane. I can't even answer that question. You're just insane. So I got to go. I haven't got time for this.
Answer the question. I'll answer it. Great. He answered it once. I'll answer it one more time.
He answered it once. He answered it once. He's going to answer it again. Rick Sanchez didn't hear it, Bob. Here is his answer. Listen. This is a very important answer of the soon-to-be governor of the state of Ohio, Joe the Plumber.
And you're not going to understand it again. It's called principles. Look it up, and then you'll figure it out, man.
And your principles say that somebody who makes a lot of money should not be taxed.
No, look up principles and read the definition. Get it right out of Webster's, and you'll understand it, maybe. It's talked about taking someone else's money and taxing them at a higher rate because they make more than you, they've worked harder than you. I mean, cry me a river, man.
Cry me a river.
Yeah, this is sort of a conversation you would expect to see between people on a street corner ready to have a fight.
Yeah.
Well, some people would argue that actually the way the system is right now, that those people over 250,000, in fact, that seems to be Obama's argument, aren't paying their fair share like they were perhaps in the 1960s, and that it's imbalanced. I suppose you would disagree with that?
What about flat tax? You know, would you be for that? Would that be
now we're going to switch to flat tax.
Error for you?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I've done stories on flat tax. I think it's a remarkable idea.
Oh, I love that flat tax. I love it. I'm a big Steve Forbes guy. I love that flat tax. I'm Rick Sanchez.
All about a flat tax. Obama doesn't want to go there. He actually, if you look at the rest of my interview as when he was in my yard.
He's doing interviews with Obama. Joe the Plumber is interviewing Obama.
But
he's already got a talk show.
But neither does McCain. 40%. So why are you bringing that up?
Yeah, McCain doesn't do that either. So how's the amazing Joe the Plumber going to get out of this one?
Well, because you're bringing up stuff that's insignificant to the question that I asked. I mean, you want to talk about my license? I've come out on the record and said, yeah, I don't have a license.
All right.
Okay, you got me.
Hey, Joe. I'll tell you what, it's a good discussion. Some different perspectives that you've shared with our viewers, and I appreciate you taking time to talk to us today.
See you later.
All right, man. God bless.
God bless. Hey.
The fight didn't break out.
No. It's like Joe the Plumber's going,
hey, Greg, the interesting point about this is that
it shows you that politics is totally entertainment, and it's going to get worse. It's going to be like that movie Idiocracy. I wouldn't say worse. It's just going to get more bizarre. The meaning of Sarah Palin is that anybody can be in politics now. Because it has nothing to do with political bureaucracies and power, which is going global.
Yeah, I know. Joe the Plumber probably will be some senator or governor or something just because he's been promoted. He's a complete idiot, obviously. He hasn't got a clue about any... He can't argue a point. He says, look up principles. And look it up, man. Look it up, man. Look at principles
like
in Webster's.
See, Greg, you want to get this show a higher profile, please run for alderman or whatever you call it up there.
Yes.
Please enter politics.
All right.
And be as absurd as possible.
Do you know the liberals in
Greg the fake capitalist? They all say, you're Greg the fake capitalist.
I'll have all of these. And then they'll have some people getting up and saying, you're a fake leftist. I know that. You're a fake leftist.
Yeah, you'll be controversial because no one can really figure out what fake you are.
Well, I'll be saying I'm a Stalinist, and then I'll have all these people who are arriving who know me from this whole debacle that's happening around here showing up to the all candidates meetings and going, no, you're not a Stalinist. You're a fake leftist. And everybody's going to be looking around going, should we like him? Shouldn't we like him? If he's a fake leftist, then maybe we should like
he's
him.
He's a fake radio man.
You are a radio man, like Hitler. Wait a minute, they're calling him, he's like Hitler.
A fake radio man, this is fake.
McLuhan will show up from the grave and go, I'd like to just say, I have no question for the candidate at this all candidates meeting. I would just like to say that Hitler was a radio man, and have been a radio man, so I would now compare you to Hitler.
Thank you.
I am Marshall McLuhan, and I'm going to head back to my grave now. Goodbye, everybody. And
you
Bob,
make that
and
a
Bob,
bumper sticker. Greg and, is a radio man.
Greg is a radio man. So on the day of the election also, there was a last-ditch attempt by some of the big or the groups out there that are against Obama to put out advertising. They probably didn't have a lot of money. They had a certain amount of money, but not enough to just paper the airwaves with their advertising over the course of the election. So they did it on the last day. And here's one of them. It's with one of our old friends. We've talked about him on the show before. Bob, I'm going to ask you to try to tell me who this is speaking.
People talk about the United States being the sole superpower. In fact, that's a product of decisions. In some cases, decisions that were made 20 years ago by President Reagan.
I will cut investments in unproven missile defense systems. I will slow our development of future combat systems.
So they're cutting in clips of Obama. And they have this strangely edited section with this other man speaking. He's bald. He's got a beard. And he looks really serious. And there's music, very serious music behind him, as you can hear. I'll carry on. And, Bob, listen very carefully and tell me who it is. And if any of our listeners want to phone in and if they know who this person is. We've talked about him on the air before. We've talked about him on the show. He's a prime enemy of ours. And of everybody's, as far as I'm concerned, except the neoconservatives. He's a friend of theirs, but an enemy of ours. I'll carry on.
The consequences of 4 years of incompetent government in the military and national security arena could be disastrous.
I will not develop new nuclear weapons. You know where I stand.
When we see candidates that unmistakably convey a determination neither to use military power nor to ensure that they have it at their disposal should it be necessary, they are conveying to our enemies weakness, and weakness invites aggression.
It will not be 6 months before the world tests Barack Obama. I guarantee you it's going to happen.
Let freedom ring. Paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Do you know who that is, Bob?
Frank Gaffney?
That is correct. Very good, Bob.
Thank you.
Yep, Frank Gaffney. And he's the neoconservative. He was with Reagan during the Reagan presidency, of course. He was involved in nuclear stuff, nuclear deployment. He's
Richard Pearl.
Yes, he was involved with Pearl. Mm-hmm. And they worked for a Democrat at first. Pearl was associated with a Democrat, and then Gaffney worked under the man of evil himself, Richard Pearl.
You realize, Greg, we're talking Reagan's pretty soon 30 years ago?
Yeah.
Think of that, 30 years ago when you talk about Reagan.
Yeah, I know.
Now,
he's dead, you know.
I remember Frank Gaffney, what he looked like, I think, back in the 80s. I have not seen him in 25 years. I didn't know he's bald, but it is 25 years. He must be bald now. I just sort of psychically picked up on that. I haven't heard Frank Gaffney ever on the radio in 20 years.
Well, Mae Brussels used to talk about Frank Gaffney quite a bit, didn't she?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Richard Pearl. I mean, Mae Brussels predicted in 1972 Reagan would have to be president. Because he represented the dark, forthright principles and forces and people. And she talked about Pearl and Gaffney as part of that historical network in the 70s. That's why she was a prophet.
As dialed. Please check your directory, dial 0 for assistance, or hang up and try your call again. Thank you.
Whoa. That was bad. Are you there, Bob?
Day 5.
Day 5. Day 5 phoning in. So there was another ad on that day.
What about the fact Mae was prophetic and we used to play her on CKLN?
Mae Brussels was the greatest.
Yep.
There's no one like her and never will be, I don't think. She was a product of her times, I guess, but she worked hard at doing what no one else was doing.
Yeah, no one should tax her.
No.
She
no one should.
So hard.
That's right. Here's another one from the GOP Trust.
For 20 years, Barack Obama followed a preacher of hate and said nothing is right raged against our country.
Not God bless America, God damn America.
U.S. of KKKA.
He built his power base in Wright's church. Wright was his mentor, advisor, and close friend. For 20 years, Obama never complained until he ran for president. Barack Obama, too radical, too risky. The National Republican Trust PAC is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Hey, Bob. Bob?
Yes?
I got so many things to play here. I'm loaded up with so many things. I'm just going to play one here, all right? One of these
Go ahead. PSAs. Wait, I have never heard any of these commercials. They're pretty interesting.
Okay, go ahead. I'm going to play it.
CKLN's annual general meeting takes place on Sunday, November 23rd, 6 p.m. at the Elmo Combo, 464 Spadina Avenue at College.
This meeting is open to all community members, current full-time resident students, and volunteers in good standing. To qualify as a community member, you must have made a minimum pledge of $50 during Fund Fest 2008 and paid it by October 27.
That's CKLN's annual general meeting, November 23rd, 6 p.m. at the Elmo Combo, 464 Spadina Avenue at College.
So, there's what I should have played a few minutes ago, but I'm not
used
to playing.
No, I meant the commercials you're playing, these attack ads.
Oh,
I know.
Them.
They're interesting.
I know, but I had to play that one.
What did it say? Was it an annual general CKLN meeting at the Elmo Combo?
Yeah.
How could that be? There are bands there.
Well, maybe there'll be a band. Maybe it'll be a whole musical, like Ryerson Radio Musical, the movie. I don't know. Well, anyway, it's in 2 weeks. So if you've donated over $50 and you paid it weeks ago, you're in like Flint. You can go down to the Elma Combo and party with us. And this is, let's see, this is AGM Attempt 2, I think.
That's incredible. I mean, they sort of have problems when they have them around Ryerson, so they're moving out of the area.
Well, yes. So, you can read all about it. So they're moving to another area, and so if you've donated $50 and you're a member, see, I'm a member of CKLN because I donate more than 3 hours of volunteer time to the station in a 6-week period. I think.
Yeah, well, I'm core staff, Greg.
That's right. Well, you've donated three, but you can't you can't make it. You have to be here in person. You can't phone that one in.
No, but I've donated for decades, but I'm core staff, so I have a certain privilege.
You do? Okay. Yeah. Well, we all have privileges, and they can all be taken away. And we should all be thankful for them.
It's a privilege to be a manager at CKLN.
Right. I've been told by people here that I have white privilege.
Well, that you do have, but it's kind of fake because you're a Stalinist. White people aren't Stalinists, are they?
No. Especially not Black Stalin. You've heard of him?
Black Stalin?
Black Stalin.
Oh, who's that?
He's a West Indies music guy. He's like a reggae fella. I went down to Ontario Place to see Black Stalin. I was curious, but he didn't show up.
I don't know why. He's probably deported.
Black Stalin didn't show up. They didn't let him in. They were questioning him about his political views.
Then Obama, he is interpreted by some people, maybe on the left, as maybe a centrist, but for the people who are now and been for 3 weeks stocking up on guns, they consider him a Black Stalin. Mm. What do you think of that, Greg? It's a Stalinist. You know, I mean, is he approximately your dream?
No, nowhere near it. I'm going to get into that in a few minutes.
Okay.
No. He's an actor. He's a smart actor. We've seen stupid actors, and we've seen people who were actors who were on the leading edge of Alzheimer's, but we haven't seen a really, really smart actor. And Obama,
maybe not
since
JFK.
Yeah, Obama's a really smart actor, I think.
Yes, and he's not black. He's not African American. He's an image on the screen. You're on the right track here with your perception that he's an actor. It has nothing to do with his chemical body. It's his discarnate effect. And major media, entertainment media, love him because he has elegance and style. They didn't like the stupid actors.
Well, they liked it for a while. Some people liked it, but not anymore.
Yeah, it ran its course. If we live 200 years every 12 months, that's 1,000 years, the Bush administration. That's too much for people.
We lived 1,000 years of that?
Yeah, we live under electric conditions compared to previous centuries, 200 years every 12 months.
Oh.
In terms of experience. So 8 years of a president is almost 2,000 years. It's Egyptian. It's pharaonic. And people get tired of the image.
Do you mean I've been on the air here for 2,000 years?
Yes. You have been on the air, and you yourself have aged 2,000 years in terms of experience compared to other centuries.
Oh, I know that. I looked in the mirror this morning. It's vicious.
Yeah, I have to admit it. You do look aged.
Yeah, I look old. Old.
When I saw you in October, it was shocking.
I know. And you'd seen me just, what, a year before that? Oh, no, that's
no,
a year.
No, I haven't seen you since 2004.
I think I look a bit better than that.
I hadn't seen you in 3 years.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'd really taken a hit.
Yeah, but the point is that it meant your taxes in an ideal society would be lower because you have been working hard, Greg.
Oh, I know. I've been working hard. I do more than 3.5 hours of community work every 6 weeks, let me tell you. I did.
Yeah, I think that you're an archetype. I think that what the life you've led as a radio man is the life that Barack Obama's going to have. He's going to have the same experience, the same hassles, the same fatigue, the same diseases, because he's entered the media swarm.
Hey, do you think that Barack Obama will be a radio man? He will do those radio broadcasts that Bush does every week? Bush does on Saturdays, Bush does a radio address that no one ever hears, and I don't think anyone ever broadcasts. But he does
one. But no, he will. I mean, he is a radio man. That's what he's good at. He's a replay of Martin Luther King. He's probably going to make those radio broadcasts a hit.
Well, I've got to go to another break here. We're going to be breaking constantly during this. I got to go to a hard break. This is a hard break, Bob. But before we get to that hard break, here's one of our favorite radio men of the past. Here he is, Richard Nixon.
At the current rate, the crimes of violence in America will double by 1972. We cannot accept that kind of future for America. We owe it to the decent and law-abiding citizens of America to take the offensive against the criminal forces that threaten their peace and their security, and to rebuild respect for law across this country.